I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Because as a lesbian, you can wear cleats casually.
Yeah, babe. You don't have to have come
for
from
sure.
A sporting
event. Be on any
event.
Kind of grass at any point in the day. You
golf cleats.
Them. Yeah.
Baseball cleats. Soccer cleats.
Oh my God.
Whatever cleats you want. Do your thing.
That's great.
Checking out. Sponsored by cleats.
Yeah. Sponsored by a type of shoe.
I'm dyking out. You're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about. Dyking out. Dyking out. Dyking out. Dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that has taken 96 episodes to finally accept that Taylor Swift is straight. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Sarah York.
And today we are dyking out with comedian and performer Alicia Goldsmith about Chosen Families.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So our next show at Stonewall, for anybody who's going to be in New York, is September 30th. That's a Monday as usual. And we have already an awesome, awesome lineup. We're going to announce it soon. It involves the singer of my go-to karaoke song. So
amazing.
Just imagine how excited I am about this. Also, a couple quick shout-outs of things that some of our past guests are doing that are cool that you should check out. Past guest Lauren Ashley Smith is the head writer of the Black Lady Sketch Show, which has been out for a few weeks now on HBO.
Yeah, it's been on 3 episodes now. It's really good.
Yes, so and good. I believe Brittany Nichols writes for it too, so
yep.
There's queer content in it, and it's very funny, and it's very great, so check that out on HBO. Also, Musician Pronoun is going to be on tour. She has a show in Brooklyn, I think September 3rd, but look her up to see when she might be in your part of the country.
Yeah.
She's been opening for some really big names. She's about to go on tour in Europe with Dashboard Confessional.
Oh, cool.
So congrats to her for all the good things going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Alicia, we met at Open Flame Mic,
yes.
Which is like a queer mic at a bar in Brooklyn called Mood Ring that's all about like astrology, and everything is astrology themed, and it's very
it's very cute,
it's very queer. There is a picture of Gillian Anderson in the bathroom, we've mentioned this before, where she's like, her thong is sticking out of the back of her dress. So that's
they really know their audience there, don't they?
They do.
Yeah. And you know, the reason like mics like that are important are because a lot of open mics are trash. And I just have a quick story I want to share of a mic I went to recently. Because this one comic, this was definitely not a queer mic. This one comic got on stage and just started asking all the guys in the room, like as if there were no women there. There were maybe two women, but just like having a conversation about like, hey dudes, what are your masturbation habits on a week where you have a big date? So what's your masturbation strategy? And because I've, you know, these aren't the things I talk about with my guy friends. So this is all like foreign to me that guys have a masturbation strategy when they have a date they're excited about. But it revolves around them wanting to make sure that when they have sex with the date, which they seem very entitled to, to thinking like that, that's for sure going to happen, that they come super hard. Like the guy.
So that
seems at the so it's like you can't you can't masturbate like that day, or if you do, it has to be in the morning.
What, is there and, any like, science to back that up? If that actually,
they were all talking kind of like different strategies, but like don't do it like right before because you really want to have like pent up.
Gross.
It sounded like super rapey. Like you want to just be so hungry for coming. Like,
and that sex is a given. It's like is it though?
Yeah. So I went up after this and commented on how it's amazing how concerned these guys are and focused about their own orgasm without being concerned at all for their partner's orgasm. And
I'm sure that went over well.
Yeah. Well, they're you know, they were fine about it. But then the host of the mic afterwards, as I was getting off stage, was like, hey, Carolyn, have you ever made a woman come with just your hands?
And honey.
I'm like, first of all, like rude asking me this in front of a room full of men. But second of all, I'm like, yeah.
Duh.
What do you think?
What do you think we do?
Yeah. I'm like, how do you think we stay in business? Of course I'm making women come with my hands. Like, what are you talking about? And he was like, really? How do you know? I'm like, because I'm not an idiot. He's like, what's the secret? I'm like, are you telling me you've never, like, you don't think it's possible? It was like, he didn't think it was possible. And this is like a very attractive, like muscular man.
Of course he is saying this. Yeah.
Right.
like, oh.
He doesn't have to work for it.
Mm-mm.
No. He was just like, oh, I'm just really athletic. So I just like throw him on top of me and make it happen that way.
Are you sure?
And I'm like, are you sure? Like, and he's like, well, what's the secret? And I'm like, pay attention.
Yeah. Communication, bro.
Yeah.
He's
being like, present. Oh, what a douchebag.
Be present and pay attention. That's the secret. And all the guys are like, huh?
What?
And I'm like,
communicate.
God, Jesus. I cannot imagine.
Jesus.
Ugh, that is so gross.
Speaking of straight women, another thing that has been a listener requested thing that we touch on, which, you're welcome, listeners, that I did the research for this. Bachelor in Paradise. Alicia, have you ever watched The Bachelor? I've never seen a single episode.
There was like a black lady on. I watched the black woman.
I remember that. Yeah.
But it was really devastating. Because it was like so obvious that there was like one black dude they were keeping around just because he was a black dude. And it was like obviously for the storyline. Wait, have you seen, there's like, what is it? Unreal, I think it's called.
No.
It's like a scripted show on Lifetime about.
Oh, yes.
I watched that.
Okay.
It's a former producer of The Bachelor who created this show.
I remember that.
Yeah. So I think I had that in my head a little bit of like, and also my girlfriend has worked in reality TV production. So I'm like, oh, I like know how the sandwich is made or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was devastating.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many issues in the show. One, the tokenism of black women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And men as well.
And men, but they've never had a black bachelor.
No. And as I don't think they ever will.
Yeah, no idea.
I mean,
yeah.
and we're talking like 20 seasons into this show, I think.
23.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
23 or 24 seasons.
Yeah. Really?
Bachelor in Paradise is a spinoff. So I've never had any desire to watch it because there's nothing queer about it. To see women, you know,
competing
sabotaging
for a man.
Each other
yeah.
for
yeah.
a man just sounds like the downfall of our society. And then I know they brought out the Bachelorette, but I'm like, yeah, I don't like that ratio of men to women on screen either.
No, that's terrifying.
That was really scary too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
isn't yeah. like
it's too much.
That
like
gives
one
me
woman on a date with four men. I can't think of anything more dangerous.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And they would be like fighting and stuff.
Yeah.
Too yeah, like
much.
A house.
And you know everyone's being fed like a steady stream of alcohol through
yeah,
these shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a house mm-mm. of like 15 men all trying to sleep with the same woman. What Oof. Could go wrong, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was skeptical, but I did read about it and what happened on Bachelor in Paradise. And at first I was like, I don't care because they're probably just doing it for ratings. But basically, mm-hmm. one of the contestants who's on Bachelor in Paradise, which if you don't know, it's kind of like past contestants from the shows. They all go somewhere in paradise. Mm-hmm. It works a little bit different. There's more of a close to equal number of mm-hmm. men and women, and they get kind of paired out or paired up. But then two people get left out each time, and then they bring new people in, and the pairings change, and it's like a musical chairs of losers from The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And yeah. but there was one there, Demi, and she was in a relationship with a woman when she left to come and do this show, and they must have had an open relationship or some type of understanding. Mm-hmm. So she gets paired up with this guy, and the producers bring her girlfriend and fly her into the show, and
messy.
You see them reunite.
Such a mess.
And she's so happy to see her girlfriend, and it's like very emotional. And she tells the girlfriend that she did have like a physical and romantic connection with this guy, but seeing her girlfriend made her realize that she was in love with her and wants to just be with her. So she breaks up with the guy,
mm-hmm.
Tells her girlfriend she loves her, and then the show like sets them up on one of like the special date nights by a poolside. And this is like prime time on ABC,
yeah.
them showing lesbians in love on a date, making out and treating it the same way that they do a straight couple. So that's why
people
are excited
yeah.
and freaking out about it. And
yeah, I would bet that there's a lot of like straight women out there who felt a little tingling when they watched that. And there may be some people questioning their sexuality after that.
Oh,
I swear.
Sure.
Possibly. Like seeing something like that on screen is so important, especially when you're inundated with so much heteronormative you know, content all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I watched a clip of them being reunited. I didn't see the date, but it was,
does it seem like really genuine?
It seemed very genuine.
Okay.
Yeah. Very genuine and very sweet, though. I was a little bit uncomfortable knowing that the cameras are there and knowing that the producers are probably like, yeah,
look at
how much they're kissing.
Yeah.
But like, you could definitely see that it was just like two women who were just so happy to be
that's great
back together.
Maybe that was their whole long game of just scamming a vacation out of these people,
right?
Ooh.
I would totally do that. It meant like, do I get to spend a week for free on this resort or whatever? Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll hold Chad's hand.
I'm so pro lesbian scamming.
I know.
100%
scam men whenever you
scam
can.
Scam men and television networks whenever
yes.
you can.
Speaking of scams, I know we're not going to give it much time, but Taylor Swift, we haven't talked about it, but she did come out as straight.
She did?
In Vogue.
Officially?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have sort of like, you know, you can block people on Twitter. I do it in my own brain for Taylor Swift content.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes.
I have no more patience. I can't.
So her album Lover came out today, and just to level set, Lucia, I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan.
Let it out, baby. It's okay.
is she on a jogging playlist of mine? Maybe. Maybe.
You should have to disclose that.
I'd like to think that I'm running away from Taylor Swift
yeah.
as that plays.
That's why it's
giving
on your running
me
list. I love that.
Motivation to run. Her album Lover came out today, and as many of you know, we've had Sarah Kennedy on the podcast, and she is very much on the pulse of all things related to Taylor Swift being gay, and really presented a compelling case that got me invested in it more than I ever thought I would be. And it seems pretty clear now that she just really wanted all the attention during Pride, which means she's as awful as I initially kind of thought she was.
Right. She'll do anything for attention. That's the whole thing. Her whole fucking career is just a grift for attention. Like, yeah. I sort of get the appeal of her music, I suppose, but I just, this entire thing has been a grab for attention from a fan base of people who are very loyal to people that are queer. You know what I mean? Like, we know that. So, I don't know. I think the whole thing was a fucking grift from start to finish. And
I know.
And I'm really deeply sorry that Sarah Kennedy has invested so much of her time and energy.
I know.
Although she has gotten some excellent, she's created a whole show around it. Good for
her. She has. I know. I wonder what's going to happen with the...
Has anyone checked on Sarah Kennedy?
I checked on her. Oh, yeah. I checked on her after the Vogue thing. So because they were talking about the You Need to Calm Down video, and she said that she didn't realize that she could advocate for a community that she wasn't a part of. And that's what she said.
God.
And
that's
peak, so clear.
Peak rich white lady.
So clear, like, she's saying she's not even, like, bisexual, which is what a lot of people thought. So, but everything with just, like, the hair colors or bracelets that are all, like, the bisexual pride colors or the pansexual flag, like, all the stuff she's doing that kind of signals, it gets people excited. And gets our listeners sending me pictures of evidence and me saying, like,
blowing up our inbox with the freaking tinfoil hat conspiracy theories.
I mean, but to me, it seems so crazy that you would make a video like You Need to Come. Like, can you imagine?
It's not crazy. I'm telling you, this is all fucking on purpose. Yeah, she's doing this shit on purpose.
She knows
what she's doing. There's a team of white gay men behind her making this happen. They know exactly how to fucking signal to people. This whole thing was crafted in the 50th story of some skyscraper in New York at a PR firm that gets paid a fucking shit ton of money. The entire thing is manufactured start to finish. She is like the target of music. You know what I mean? Like if you took like a really cool Brooklyn artsy flea market and compared it to a fucking dollar clearance aisle at Target with a bunch of fucking live, laugh, love picture frames, that's what Taylor Swift is. She's a fucking sentient live, laugh, love, like water bottle that some soccer mom has in her fucking Mary Kay pink SUV. I'm so fucking sick and tired of her getting all this attention for like, oh, is she queer? Maybe not. Oh, it was an accident. Everything's a fucking accident to her when she gets called out for it. It's fucking ridiculous. I'm over it. She's lame. Move on. Like, there's so many cool queer artists out there. There's so many young people making music. There's so many fucking rad musicians out there.
Yes.
You got fucking Sir Baby Girl out here going on tour.
Yeah.
Kicking ass. Like, reaching 10,000 followers on Instagram. Go follow Sir Baby Girl and listen to her fucking music instead of this bullshit Taylor Swift crap because you're being fucking grifted to all the time.
Ooh,
it's annoying. Amen. I can't fucking stand her.
I love it.
I'm so sick of her pandering to a young queer audience and then turning around and playing dumb when people were like, oh, did you not realize you were just signaling this entire time? Of course she did, because her fucking marketing people are genius, and they told her to.
And because the songs that she released first were, like, very queer-baity and queer-centered, and then the album drops today, and it's, like, a song about her boyfriend, like, London Boy or whatever, and, like, Lover.
Yeah.
It's, like, all the songs that are, like, super hetero, and she kept kind of those in the back pocket because Sarah Kennedy thought, like, this is going to be the album where she comes out.
Right, she should have thought that based on all the fucking evidence, all the breadcrumbs leading you there, all the little rainbow bagel breadcrumbs that led you there.
So I checked in with Sarah, and I asked her.
Anyway, Sarah's doing okay?
Yeah, like,
that's the whole point of this. I'm just worried about her mental health.
I was like, is it case closed? And she pointed me to somebody else.
I just picture her, like, literally closing case files all over her apartment, like, manila envelopes open, papers strewn everywhere, and her just, like, locking them into a file cabinet and turning the key and then throwing the key into the Hudson River.
It's so serious. She moved out of New York.
She really did.
She literally had to pack up and
move. We love Sarah Kennedy. Follow Sarah Kennedy on Twitter.
Yeah. So she said, you know, Dolly Parton has also never come out and has also officially insisted that she's straight, but also says that she shares a bed with her friend Judy.
Yes, which her friend Judy's been with her for decades.
Yes, I know we've talked about this a little bit, yeah, but I didn't realize that they were sharing a bed.
They're sharing a life, girl.
And she never sees her husband.
Good for her. Jeez. And also, we're not talking about the real, like, the smart person here, her husband.
Truly.
Those guys are living the dream. Are you kidding? The Stedmans of the world?
Yes.
Absolutely. Stedman has his own, I'm sure he has his own, like, guest house. Yeah, on the compound.
I think he does.
I think he literally has a separate, like, across from the pool.
It's like
he
does. It's like a compound.
He's living the dream.
Yeah. Truly. Yeah.
While Oprah and Gail are off on vacation, Stedman's just like putzing around the compound, living his best life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably,
checking
you know,
on the turnips.
Just
and stuff.
Fiddling around with his car collection in the garage. He's doing fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know shit about Dolly's husband, but he's probably doing fine too.
I didn't either. Does Judy have a husband? Does Gail have a husband?
Does Gail have a husband? I don't know if Gail King has a husband. She has kids, I know that are like adults, but I don't know.
I don't know.
If she does, he's doing fine too.
Yeah.
I don't think Judy has a husband.
Judy, I've heard, is like a butch dyke.
Yeah.
But that is...
I've seen pictures of Judy, but it's hard like to tell if somebody's like older and southern or if they're a
yeah.
butch
that
dyke.
Is true.
White women
that is
all
true.
Age okay. into looking like butch dykes.
Yeah.
So we... I'm just speeding up the process myself personally. But this with gray hair is every older white lady.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, who can be... I don't know, but... I mean, at this point, Dolly Parton and Taylor Swift are absolutely not in the same category here, right? Because Dolly Parton, first of all, is like 400 years old.
Uh-huh.
She's a legend. I'm obsessed with her. I've been listening to the Brandi Carlile Stories album where she had all these musicians record covers of her songs.
Yeah.
She has a cover on there that is the most beautiful song I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm obsessed with the combination of Brandi Carlile and Dolly Parton. Anyway, that's a whole thing. But Dolly Parton... her career, at the point that Taylor Swift is at now, Taylor Swift was like 32 or something or 31?
No, 29.
She's 29. I thought she was closer to my age.
No,
oh, well.
1989 is the name of her album.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
so
get
she is turning 30 this year or whatever. So, but when Dolly Parton was 30, it was what, 1912? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was too long ago.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
she
yeah,
couldn't
yeah.
have done that. And
right.
now,
yes.
at this point in her life,
why?
She's like, fuck it, the jig is up. She doesn't have the energy for the whole PR circus.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
Taylor Swift is at the perfect time for that. If she were queer, which she's fucking not.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's okay to be straight. Like, I just want... it. I mean,
well.
It's not... I mean, I deeply feel for you, but...
yeah.
But it's also, like, culturally fine to be straight. Like, you don't have to pander to queer people or put on this, like, queer persona... in an attempt to be cool, like, just fucking be yourself.
Yeah.
If you're straight, you're fucking straight, girl. That's fine.
Yeah.
And that's the thing... Oh, what were you going to say, Alicia?
I was just going to... I didn't read the book. I don't really... I'm not up on the Taylor Swift-y whatever.
Yeah.
She was in an article and was like, just so you know, I'm straight? That's... Well,
I think it's so many words. I don't know.
People were
I didn't
asking
read
her about her sudden jump into the middle of LGBTQ rights and like encouraging people to write their politicians and being very vocal and donating money and like doing good stuff. But it's like all of a sudden you're at this center. Like, what made you want to do
of
that?
The conversation. Yeah. And the point is to be the center of the conversation.
Right. Yeah. Well, because didn't she get in trouble because like she was supporting Trump or something?
Well,
no.
She basically didn't say shit about the election. She didn't say shit during the election. She didn't say shit
she
until
didn't
the
isolate
11th
any
hour
fans.
Of...
Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
She didn't say shit until the 11th hour of the midterm elections.
Okay.
In which she sort of, in this bland fucking Taylor Swift way, was like, vote for a Democrat. I'm sure that's where her like heart is, but that's not where her fucking money is. And that's
right.
not where her activism is.
Right.
And that's not how she's leveraging her gigantic fan base to, and
yeah.
if she could energize young people to register to vote, not even to sway them one way or the other.
Which she did in Tennessee.
In Tennessee,
there was a big bump
but
in Tennessee
could,
when
again,
she...
again, like a day late and a dollar short from the 2016 election, not that it would have mattered, but it's just, it's the way she uses her influence to either, to just sort of come down in a very sort of milquetoast, like non-committal kind of way to an issue, or to quite literally spend all of Pride Month building up a very contrived PR, you know, very smart. She pays people a shit ton of money to make sure she's constantly the center of attention. I get it. That's her whole fucking career. Go for it. But don't turn around and act all like you didn't know any of this was happening. Like, right. Oh, I didn't know all these rainbow colors knew. And fucking unicorns and everything would signal 14-year-old queer girls into thinking that maybe I was one of them.
Yeah. And she's like on Tumblr.
Which like, already is just a queer thing to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's yeah. in
Tumblr
there.
Tumblr is queer grinder.
She's reading everything that her fans are saying about her. She's read all the conspiracies about her and Karlie
Kloss. She knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. She knows what's up and she feeds into it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Whatever. We're not going to talk about her anymore.
We're not
going to
spend
podcast.
25 solid minutes going on any more rants about her. Yeah. I'm so fucking bored.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's over. But we had to put it to, I had to We're put it out there. Yeah.
We're putting her out to pasture. Yeah. It's over. She's not queer.
Yes.
Everyone move on with your lives.
No more DMs about her. No Don't more. Say, but what about this? I'm over it. DM me about somebody new.
Yeah. Find someone new.
Brie Larson.
I know. Anyone. Ooh. God. Any woman in the MCU, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I will take your Tessa Thompson gifts all day long.
Yes,
yeah, CC me on
God, I'm obsessed with her. Yeah. I can't.
The last thing to talk about before we get into our topic is that the L Word Generation Q trailer came out.
I mean, did you watch it?
No.
I thought it looked kind of good. It
really?
Was like, yeah, like I kind of, as someone who was extremely skeptical for this series, yeah. I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of fun.
Yeah,
like, I take it that. What did you think? Alice, I guess, is like a talk show host.
Love
so
that.
So that's where they went with her.
That's fine. She we don't really know cool what's going on with Shane.
No, because the only thing you see of Shane is her like aggressively making out with some woman.
Yeah,
for like a split second. It's like a montage. It's a teaser. I mean, it's not like a full trailer.
Yeah, Beth's running for mayor. It looks like
Aww,
her daughter is going to be as significant. We see Angela. Is that her name? Angelica?
I don't know the kid's name.
Angelica, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That feels correct.
That sounds right.
Yeah. I remember being disappointed with the name choice.
Yeah.
Like Angelica, the mean girl from Rugrats?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's her in the school uniform.
Oh, okay.
The private school uniform. That's gonna be her, and then a bunch of new characters that we don't really learn anything about, other than one of them seems like maybe they just moved there.
Yeah.
But the part that made me think like, yeah, we're gonna get a lot of the same stuff was there's this like one scene that they do show of the one new character with the short blonde hair riding her bike.
The Kristen Stewart type.
Yeah, and some guy, like, very forced, is like,
hey sweetie, give me a smile.
Give me a smile. And, like, the most, like, forced, like, not like, real
that
way.
That guy didn't even nail that one line.
Yeah, he, like, did not nail the line. It's so bad. And then she's like, time's up, motherfucker, and, like, flips him off. I'm like, Oh, no.
I did sort of cringe at that.
Like,
I was
are
like,
they
oh,
going to be hitting
okay,
us over
the
head?
So we do have some of the same writers in the room.
Yeah. Right.
I was going to say.
Like, that guy did the best he could with that silly line, I guess, is what I should say.
Yeah.
Because no one says, hey, sweetie, give me a smile. Let's not. They say, they'll say something else really fucking crude, but I just feel like, hey, the sequence of words, hey, sweetie, give me a smile, no one says that.
Nobody says that.
And we live in New York. We know what people say.
Like, and have definitely been told to smile by men many different ways.
Different words. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes.
But never that way.
Never once that way.
Yeah. Never, hey, sweetie. Yeah. Let me get a smile. No.
No. Yeah. That is a line of dialogue written by someone who's never been catcalled.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just Leah Delaria in the writer's room.
Oh, God. You know what? It was Leah Delaria is the one that said it.
Yeah.
Leah Delaria does the catcalling.
God, probably.
She does. I'm
100%.
Sure she does.
Yeah.
100%.
She's gross. We've already gone on rants about her on the podcast.
I support it.
Thank you.
A listener did send us a message yesterday saying that they had just turned 21 and they were going to Cubbyhole for the first time. And they're like,
oh, congrats.
They said, is there anything I need to know? I said, if Leah Delaria is there, run.
Yes.
Get out of there.
Like, amen.
Are you femme in 21? Don't get near her.
Yeah. And don't use that bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Ugh, I hooked up with somebody in that bathroom one time. I just have to admit that.
Good for you.
Thank you. I was in a delicate point in my life.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, right after being dumped by someone, which has only happened to me twice in my whole life.
Oh my God.
So it was a whole thing. Anyway, it was fine.
I've never used the bathroom there.
It's, I like, Yeah, it could use some sprucing up. That place in general,
I've never been in there long enough to need to use the bathroom. I'm in and I'm out. What?
That's real.
Wise. Yeah. Very wise.
I have been there for like a drink, I think 2 years ago. It's just, there's too many fucking people there. I can't get in.
Yeah, way too many people.
Yeah.
I used to bartend across the street, so I would like go out and be like, what's it looking like over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, only terrible things happened when I actually went in.
I work around the corner from it, right, like currently.
Do you?
But yeah, but I just can't bring myself to go there.
I will say, I think I've been to Cubbyhole maybe 8 times. Of those 8 times, only 1 time have I been there for longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's usually a walk-in and then a face.
It's a quick.
And walk out.
It's a quick trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I know it has. People really like going there, but I'm just like, ugh.
They do. It's a thing.
I would definitely, I would like to go between like 4 and 6.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good time.
Like, give me like a Con Ed window of time.
Yeah.
Between 4 and 6, I'd go there for like, they have cheap drinks at that time. That's when it's worth it. But I can't go late night. No way.
Yeah. The last time I was there, my cousin from Texas, who's also queer, was in town. And she wanted to go, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. We went there. We were there for a drink. And, like, some 75-year-old lesbian came over and was like, so I just got out of softball practice. I was like, we need to leave.
Yeah.
We need to leave right
now. That's
your
cue.
Yeah.
She did it on purpose. She's like, it's too crowded in here. I'm going to go around and do the softball thing and I'll leave.
I was like, is this a bit? Like, what do you mean? Softball practice? I don't know. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
That's so gay to just come in and declare
that's
that.
That's too gay.
Yeah. I was like,
it's too much.
Congrats.
Yeah. Good for you.
Was it because she was wearing cleats and she didn't want to invite any questions about why she's wearing cleats? Because as a lesbian, you can wear cleats casually.
Yeah, baby.
You don't have to have come from a sporting event.
Any cleat it up. At any point in the day.
Golf cleats.
Yeah.
Baseball cleats. Soccer cleats.
Oh, my God.
Whatever cleats you want. Do your thing.
That's great.
Diking Out, sponsored by Cleats.
Yeah. Sponsored by a type of shoe.
All right. Our topic today is chosen family. And I think we should start. I think most people know what a chosen family is.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what is a chosen family.
I mean, I just think it's, you know, as you grow older, it's the people who you've chosen to surround yourself with, like your friends, as you progress through your 20s and 30s and you kind of build this like this network of people who you're close, you develop familial relationships with them in a way that we're sort of expected to of people who are actually our family, although most of the time that doesn't work out that way.
Especially for queer people.
Particularly for queer people. Yeah, definitely. That's how I think of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like your network. Yeah.
Same. Mm-hmm. I look at it a little bit of kind of like how in high school you're just friends with the people because that's like you don't really have a choice. But then you go to college and you're like always kind of closer with your college friends than you are. Like there's always like a few people from high school that you're
that
still close with.
Shrinks a lot after high school.
Yeah, yeah.
That just down shrinks. To like two people. So.
But in college, I'm still like next week I'm going on a trip with like 9 friends from college
because
we still all very much enjoy each other's company and can still like relate to each other and talk to each other because you get to choose from more people and by finding a college you're almost like aligning yourself with people who are interested in the same kind of thing. So same thing with like a chosen family, you're meeting these people in your life through the choices that you're making. So these are people making similar choices to you.
Yeah.
And rather than the family you're just born into, which you have zero choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers.
Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
For sure. I mean, also for me, I was adopted, so I have like kind of doubly zero choice.
Yeah.
Just like to be purchased by someone, which is crazy. I really want to ask my mom how much I was, but I don't think she'll tell me.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also nonsense of what makes it less expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I was a coupon. You know what
maybe,
I mean?
Maybe.
Because I'm like a mixed race, like Afro-Latino situation. There's got to be a coupon for that.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe there was a deal.
Yeah. I think, I feel like somebody was talking about like the levels of who's least expensive. And I think it's me.
What?
Because I think it was,
it's like special needs.
Yeah. Special needs kids
sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah sure.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. Are your adoptive parents white?
Yes.
Okay. So what's your like, give your listeners like your quick background.
Yeah. Okay.
Of your family.
So my biological family, my mom is Mexican and Libyan.
Okay.
And my dad is black. And my adopted family, everybody's just like white.
Uh-huh.
From Illinois. I grew up kind of in the middle of some cornfields in Illinois. My brother and I were like the only brown people that I knew. My brother was also adopted. We don't have the same biological family, but we're like a similar shade uh-huh. of brown. but yeah, it was really weird and really confusing.
How old were you when you were adopted?
4 days old.
4 days old. Okay.
So I always knew I was adopted.
Yeah.
You know, like Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the other, but I didn't know that I was black. Like I didn't know
sure.
that. And I would ask my mom, like, because people, like, I tell this story all the time on stage, but the first time I ever got my hair braided, somebody in kindergarten asked me if I was black or did I go on vacation?
Yes.
That joke. And I didn't know the answer. And I had to ask my mom. And my mom was just like, you know, that doesn't matter. It just matters that you're my daughter. And I definitely carried that, like, energy with me for too long. Uh-huh. because I always knew, like, people would always look at us really crazy, like me and my white mother, or as my therapist says, my Caucasian mother. but yeah, I didn't really like know. And I tried so hard to like fit into this family. They're independent fundamental Baptists. So they're like super conservative as well. Like women shouldn't wear pants or make decisions. So all of that was like really confusing. And then also like knowing that I guess I didn't know what the word queer was, but I knew that I had a crush on Lola Bunny.
Right.
Oh, you know? Yes.
It was a hot
okay.
bunny.
I remember.
That was a nice bunny.
She was hot.
She was. Yeah. she was like the best player in my opinion on Space Jam.
Anyway. Yeah.
but yeah, so all of that like really not fitting into my family and kind of coming to terms with that as an adult. Like you said, when you go to college and it's like, oh, I'm surrounded by these people who are all also interested in art or TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. Being able to have that was like really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's, man. I mean, obviously I can't mm-hmm. imagine what that would be like, but I've definitely seen it out there where I remember once I was at Disney and there was a family there, and it was a white family with a bunch of adopted kids mm-hmm. who were black and brown, and mm-hmm. And I could just tell they were like so conservative.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
it's a weird thing.
And like some of the things they were saying, it was kind of like erasing the racial identity of these kids, because, you know, a lot of conservative people who are convinced that there's like no way that they're racist because they don't even see color.
People that say they don't see color are fucking liars. And yeah. also that's the worst way to approach race.
Yeah. it's really true. Yeah. You can't erase that. You can't erase like, how the, well, rest of the world does sees
yeah,
you.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Were you raised in like a fundamentalist religious, like a school setting, or did mm-hmm. you go to a public school? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to a private Christian school, pre-K through 12th grade, like the same kid that asked me about my hair. We graduated together. And I remember too, like senior year, being like, hey, remember when you asked me if I was black? And he was like, never tell anybody that. And I was like, I'm making that my purpose.
And now it's on a podcast. Yeah. I hope
now
you're
it
listening.
Lives forever, guy from elementary school.
Yeah. But yeah, the school was like super small and super weirdly religious. Like every year we had something called Life Change Week, because you should change your life once a year.
Yeah.
But it would just be like super focused on like chapel and stuff. And like we would have special speakers come in, and it would be a week long thing of no classes, just church and school. And the Thursday of every Life Change Week, they would like set up a microphone in the middle of the gymnasium, and you could go and like confess your sins to the rest of the school.
Oh my God.
It was like the cringiest thing. I remember one kid confessed that he was addicted to anime porn. Baby, nobody asked. And it was just, wow. Yeah. And people would be like, yeah, I think that you all are fake, but I'm going to not think you're fake anymore. And it was just like,
that's so dumb. That's the, okay. The worst thing you could do. Like, talk about the worst thing you can ask kids at the most delicate mental phase of their life to do. Like, stand in front of everyone and tell us something you don't want people to know.
I never thought I would appreciate Catholicism, but at least they let us do that in private.
Yeah.
It was like,
bury it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
or
you
they
go
were
up
like,
to this
don't you
booth.
Dare show any sort of individuality or feelings.
Yeah. They're like, tell your crimes in a booth and you never have to repeat it to anybody again. And it's like, thank you.
Oh my
I'm
gosh.
A witch. I'm doing witchcraft.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm. So how much did that, like, when did you realize you were queer, first of all?
I don't know. I always knew that I was different. And I still don't know if it was like because I was black or because I was queer. I just always never felt like I fit in.
The 90 reasons you stood out from everyone else.
Right. So I don't really know. I do know that everyone else knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was in fifth grade, my dad is very weird. He had a computer. This was like when you would get AOL on the mm-hmm. little like free disk.
Yeah.
Like 100 hours of free internet or whatever. And he wouldn't let me type anything. I couldn't type it or use the mouse. I would just be like, can you go to, I don't know, webkins.com mm-hmm. or whatever. And somebody passed me a note in class that said, you should go to jenna.com. And I was like, okay, like, what is that? And I went home and I asked my dad if he could go to jenna.com for me, full lesbian porn site.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, why did they tell you that? And I was like, I don't know. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
I don't know.
Why
can
are those
you leave
boobies
the room?
Touching?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so. I feel like everybody knew, and I definitely got like called lesbian a lot, mm-hmm. and I didn't really know what that was. And I think like my mom kind of compartmentalized it as like, because she wouldn't let me date anyways, and so it was like, oh well, she's a good girl. Mm-hmm. She's not interested in boys.
Yeah.
Kind of that kind of thing. And then when I came out to her, she was like, oh well, I always knew. Which is weird to me, for a parent, which happens to so many queers, but for a parent to be like, I always knew, get out of my house.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, was that the reaction?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I always wonder when parents say, I always knew, did you always know or were you always afraid of that?
Right. Yeah.
And I think it's...
Those are two different concepts.
Yeah. Two different concepts. Yeah, it wasn't like I always knew and I was cool with it. It was like I was always afraid you would be...
Or I was afraid of this conversation
too,
that we're having right now.
Right. Like how many times was she probably praying that you would find like a nice boy?
Oh my God. That was... And I think... I know is still her dream for me to marry a pastor. She wants me to be... Like that was...
She's got to let
go of
that. When
you grow up, you're going to be a pastor's wife. Yeah. I can make a good pie, though. I
feel like I'm sure.
Pastor's wives are good at that.
That's one of the things. You have to have, like, the set of glass Pyrex baking dishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when you're a teenager.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You sort of grow into that role of cooking a lot.
Oh, totally.
How did they, like, how did you sort of, like, untangle that web of, like, fundamentalist religion throughout your queerness? Or is it still pretty hardwired?
Oh.
As far as like the actual learnings in the Bible verse and things like that. But like,
yeah.
But like how, I'm just always so curious. I grew up in a very a-religious, like basically atheist household. it's been, I've avoided a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, that's great.
but like, so I'm always very fascinated mm-hmm. by like how, because we're already detangling so much of heteronormative culture. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine piling on fundamentalist religion on top of that.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
It's weird. I mean, definitely there are still times when like a Bible verse will pop in my head or I'll like catch myself. I'm like, that's fully a hymn. Why am I singing that?
Mm-hmm.
But also like untangling it in my relationships, I think is the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. I'm also a Libra. We really love to be in a relationship and like do everything for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, yeah, it's something that I really, really have noticed as a toxic pattern of mine to just like, I don't have any needs. You
right.
have needs. Let's serve those.
Yeah.
So working to unlearn that has definitely been hard. My girlfriend is like such an amazing person who catches me sometimes doing that and will remind me. We have friends in town and she was like, you don't have to do everything for everybody all the time. Like
mm-hmm. yeah.
just yesterday. And I was like, you're right.
Yeah, that's
I'm
cool.
I'm going to go sit down.
Good. yeah.
But it is definitely a lot. I think the thing that kind of helped me decide that I, or not decide, but like realize that there are other options other than just fully, completely following Jesus the Christ. I went to the library. I was always taking, because again, my access to internet was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always take CDs and burn them to my computer and listen to them. And I felt like I discovered the Beatles.
Yeah.
In the library, you know
right.
what I mean? Like, have you guys
like,
heard,
have
of
you heard of the Beatles?
Yeah, yeah. and I remember, it's looking back on it now, like, I do feel really weird about it, and it's, like, kind of cheesy, and I have a John Lennon tattoo, and I feel weird about having a white man on my arm. But, yeah, I just, it was like, I am he, is you are me, is we are all together, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God, like we all are just like together. And like, I don't think, and I remember having this conversation with my mom at like 16 or something of like, she was like, do you believe in Jesus? And I was like, I believe in John Lennon.
Oh my God.
And
amazing.
I believe that like, it's all chill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you don't have to force
sure
what you believe.
That.
Oh my God.
yeah.
Nightmare. And then, yeah, I think I was also always getting grounded over silly things. And I think after she and I had that conversation, I remember that next Sunday I was playing Stevie Wonder in my room and I got grounded because it was like secular music or mm-hmm. whatever. And I think they were just really trying to rein it in.
Yeah.
Man.
But yeah.
That's
a lot.
That's intense.
Yeah.
I just learned about something. Have you heard of Ark Encounter?
No, what's that?
Okay.
It sounds like a video game, but
no,
go on.
It's not. So a person who I was like pretty close friends with in middle school and high school is very religious, and she went on a family vacation, which to each their own, but I just had no idea that this existed.
Oh, this is a place.
A place.
Oh, my God.
In Kentucky,
oh.
they built a quote-unquote replica of Noah's Ark, which
oh.
Noah's Ark isn't a real thing.
I have
so
heard of this.
It's not really a replica.
It's not a they just built a big boat.
They just built a giant non-functional boat. But
a
they
big
talk
boat
about
on
it.
Land.
But they talk about it. Like it's this historically accurate thing. So even oh though in the Bible, Noah was 600 years old, you know, it's like the,
yeah.
But like, I understand why people want or need religion in their life. Like
mm-hmm.
that I can understand. What is hard for me to wrap my head around is like this very literal, and Baptist religions have a very
mm-hmm.
literal interpretation of the Bible. So it's like, oh, I'm not even going to question that back in this time, of course men lived to be 600 years old and can spend 100 years building an ark, even though we haven't seen anything close to that in everything that we've experienced in this world. So that's, you know, it's interesting.
So basically, it's are there animals there?
So it looks like they have like a petting zoo outside, but like the inside, it's a bunch of like fake animals and like like mannequins of
people. Because it doesn't work to put two tigers and two lions and two bears on
And then it said something like they built it to the exact specs that God gave Noah, but. But it's not like it was, they didn't have like units of measurement in the Bible. Right. It was cubits.
Yeah.
Is what they're calling, what's a cubit, right? So they built this giant, like 500 something foot long. I mean, it looks crazy, but I'm like, wow, like this is
and I'm sure they're a charging slice of life. I can't. People are making a profit off of it. Of
course. Yeah. It's like $48 for an adult. Tax. I looked into it.
Jesus.
And it's, you can also get like a double pass to go to the Creationism Museum that's 40 minutes away in Kentucky, because I don't know why they couldn't build it right next door.
They had the gift shop in there, you're good to go.
Uh-huh. Right. They got state funds to do it, and there was a controversy over that, but because they made an argument that'd be a huge draw for tourism for people to come to Kentucky to see this giant arc. So anyway, I was just, I've been fascinated with it ever since I saw this, because I was like, what is Ark Encounter? And then I'm looking at these pictures, and then I'm like, those poor kids.
I know.
Yeah. Because a boring, a boring vacation. That's why. She's a lovely human.
A boring vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. But
But the kids are like, can we get a fucking roller coaster?
100%.
Can we get like a lazy, can we get like anything with a pool and some water?
Right.
Kids just want to go on rides and eat sugar and that's
and have water sprayed at them.
And have water sprayed at them.
Yes.
That's... Take them to an amusement park.
Anyway.
I'm glad that it took however many years it took to construct that, because that 100% would have been a family vacation of mine. We took one to Wisconsin one year to visit a church that had maybe 30 members. And that was like the summer vacation. It was like, we're going to
go. So boring.
We'll get there Saturday. We'll go to church like five times on Sunday. We'll go to the Bible study. We'll go to the thing on Wednesday. Like, it was just a church trip. Just but me, my mom, and my stepdad.
I've heard of that before, too, of people going to like churches for like vacation.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'd feel so robbed if I was a kid.
Terrible.
And like those churches that are just in the middle of the woods or, you know,
it was 100% that.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
That's terrifying. I'm sorry that that was your experience.
When it comes to
amusement parks are disgusting, so I don't know. Like as an adult, I could never imagine going to one.
Yeah. my friend talked me into going to Six Flags at the beginning of the summer. It was.
Oh, was it fun?
Very.
Fun. I would go to an amusement park with production value. Like,
yeah.
I feel like Six Flags. Like if I'm gonna go to an amusement park, it's got to be a big one. Mm-hmm. I need multiple roller coasters where you go upside down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need. And I also need to pay extra for the bougie like skip the line pass, because I also can't experience lines.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm not built for that anymore.
No. We went before the kids were out, so there was like no line.
Oh, great. Good.
But my friend is such a little snarky dude, like this kid, it's a kid in an amusement park, tried to cut us. And there's, again, one person standing in front of us. This kid tried to, and he was like, hey, get out of here. And I was like,
just let the kid
cut
you. Let the
kid get on the Superman.
The kid is essentially in the middle of a heroin high right now. Like their brain, the endorphins are rushing at a rate that we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Because they're about to get on a roller coaster. Just let him go.
Don't try cutting a line that Cecilia is in. Because
Does she get mad?
Yes.
I've never seen Cecilia like snap at anybody, but I would love to see this.
I mean, it's kind of adorable because it's very unnatural for her to seem like she's mad. So it seems like she's really trying, and then she will kind of like make comments out loud and think she's being sneaky about it, hoping that people overhear. And then she's like, should I say something? Like, can you really loud?
And you're like, don't stir the pot. I can't with this public interaction.
I know. Sometimes it's very surprising that I'm the white one in the relationship, because she definitely has the let me speak to your manager. Uh-huh.
That's funny.
Like boldness about her, which I like. I never have to ask.
I mean, that's cool.
for she's happy to confront strangers.
I was in LA over the last weekend, and we went to the Hollywood Bowl, and we went, we saw, I have to tell you, this is the coolest thing, we saw Jurassic Park, but with the LA Philharmonic playing the music. Which, first of all, you don't realize how much music is in a movie until there's an orchestra there playing it. It was fucking awesome. And there's no music only during the really tense action scenes, which I thought added like an element. It's an element you don't realize is like, oh, this is cool how they do this movie where there's silence while the raptors are like stalking around or whatever. Anyway, but I expressed frustration with the people sitting next to us at one point because I think that you should get there on time and everyone should sit down in their place. And if you show up late, you shouldn't just act like it's not a big deal, because for me it is a big deal. We've been sitting there for a while. We were on time. This girl like comes up to us. And I just hate having to get up and get out of the row and let people in. Like, I really...
Yeah.
I get anxious with that seating situation.
Yeah.
Which is all events, basically. It's not fun. So this girl comes up. She goes... sorry, and it's like 15 minutes into the movie, and I just out loud, I went, oh, for fuck's sake. And I got up, my girlfriend was laughing hysterically at that. And then I could tell the people next to me were laughing at it too, so I was like, eh, at least I made some people laugh. And she was like, yeah, sorry. And I went, okay. And I just got up, let her in. And then, of course, she had to get up 10 minutes later to go get some. I'm like, girl, you are on thin ice with this entire row of people right now. Get everything you need.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go to the bathroom and then come back. Anyway.
You should have to army crawl under the seats.
Yeah, seriously. And it's kind of like, we're like, ugh, it was a whole thing. But it was fun.
Yeah.
I have a good time at live events, I promise.
Oh, man. Back to Two Chosen Families. Well, I do feel like, especially for queer people, that it becomes a lot more of an important thing to have when your family has rejected you for said queerness.
For sure.
And actually, we've had a past guest on who was also adopted and kicked out by her family, Jess from Queer Eye. Did you see that episode?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were watching that. And my grandma was like,
you're
on
like,
TV.
This is really cool. Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's so weird. It's so weird. I remember in high school, this girl, because, like, I'm sorry, white girls are so mean.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
And this girl told me, because she was, like, one of the girls that knew I was gay before I did. And she was like, I bet your mom's going to wish, or I bet your mom thinks she got the wrong one.
Oh.
And I really, I think that she does think that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. There should be like a return policy or well, something. She
if
didn't
it's any label. Condolence, that white woman is probably aging like a ghoul.
Yeah. She probably looks like
she's turning into a goblin
who sells body wraps on Facebook.
100%. Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah.
That's very.
She's part of my chosen family.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of that, I was talking to someone about this the other day about being called a lesbian. When I was younger and kind of, I'm still not sure whether it was just like, that's the go-to insult or if it was really that there was something behind it where there was something kind of lesbian about me that made people pick that thing. Like, because even my sister would call me like a lesbian or a dyke and I would call her a PMS bitch and like, those are, but I would never call my sister a lesbian and not because I didn't think that that was like a mean thing, but that didn't seem to be like something that would hurt her.
Right.
But people either thought that, but my sister thought calling me a lesbian would hurt me.
Yeah.
Maybe?
I think that was kind
my
of,
my sister's
the,
very
it was
sweet.
Kind of the go-to insult though when we were like
but
middle school, when we were like elementary, middle school.
Was it the go-to insult though? Just for
well,
people
I don't know.
Who are
I mean, I only really playfully got called a lesbian by my best friend. She would like make fun of me. She was like, okay, lesbian. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it turned out to be incredibly true.
Uh-huh.
So we laugh about it now.
Accurate drag.
But, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it does seem like... Sometimes it seems like the kids who are mean to us were onto something. Like, they were on some higher level of thinking when really they, I think, were just reaching for words that they thought would hurt. Because at that... When you're 12 in the late 90s, being called gay as like an insult, you know?
Yeah. But my friend, the one who went to Ark Encounter, she used to call me a lesbian.
Really?
And she was the one who said that if I didn't make out with a guy soon, that I was going to turn into a lesbian, or that I would definitely be a lesbian or something like that. And it gave me like a lot of anxiety around the fact that I wasn't like making out with guys or like very...
Well, joke's on her. You went to Disneyland for vacation. She went to fucking the big churchy boat. Cool. Ooh, did you get a t-shirt? Did you get a snow globe in the gift shop? You fucking nerd.
I hope she had fun. I hope she had fun reading all about the facts of Noah's Ark.
Yeah. I got to eat cotton candy and go on Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Honestly... I feel like I have so many questions for the Noah's Ark tour. Like, where
I know,
the
yeah. Like, how do you get a job there?
They answer all those questions though. Like they
know.
They reject.
Like it's real science.
Yeah. They reject science.
Well, yeah.
But we'll use science to figure out.
Well, they call it science, right?
But they'll use science to figure out like how this Ark situation would have worked. Like, how can we justify like a family surviving for this long on this boat with all these animals while the entire world is flooded?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's everybody? Cause it wasn't like 40 days and 40 nights or something.
Yeah.
What are we eating here?
I know.
Yeah.
Where's the poop going?
There's a whole system.
I would love to go and just grill them with questions.
I would too.
Yeah.
You'd have to plant them though. I couldn't walk in and do it, or they would know that I was like there to make fun of them. But if you got some really precocious, like 12-year-old,
I don't know,
ask all these questions.
Yeah, yeah, ask them about the poop. I'm very interested in the poop. Clearly.
I feel like if you put on the right sweatshirt, they would just think that you were a Midwestern.
I could definitely.
I mean, you are Midwestern.
Yeah, like I said earlier, all white women age into semi-butch lesbians.
Yeah.
So I could just put on like, you know, I could put on like a pair of those. Those jeans that like that have the bedazzled fleur-de-lis on the butt.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then use a lot of hairspray in my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then put on like a some sort of crew neck sweatshirt that says like hockey mom on it.
There you go.
Like I could be a mom of a sport.
For sure.
You look like
totally
a big
fit
purse.
Right.
Yeah.
Big purse.
Big purse.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff in it. Totally fit right in.
You're like the mom on Rugrats, Phil and Lil's mom.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved her.
She was so queer, by the way.
She's so queer.
Phil and Lil were both queer.
If you had a cosplay a straight woman, that would be an amazing... I know you're not into Halloween.
I could be.
But I
right
feel
costume.
You could nail that Halloween
I
costume.
I could be Phil and Lil's mom for sure.
So well.
I would love to see like a current day depiction of them, and Phil and Lil are like both bisexual, like both musicians and like super rad.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
I feel like this is an improv exercise where every once in a while we go back to the sure, inspiration sure. word.
We're going to do this exact thing at the pit. Everyone come see us.
Yeah. So do you spend holidays then with friends, or how much do you see your Caucasian mom versus your chosen family?
I haven't seen my mom in a couple of years.
Okay.
Which sucks. I definitely grew up being her little mini me and loved her so much and was like so devastated that I couldn't be the pastor's wife she wanted me to be. But we kind of had a reconciling. And then when I dated a man and she was like, fixed it.
Yeah.
And then I told her about my current girlfriend when we first started dating a couple of years ago. And then it was like, JK. So I haven't seen her in a minute. But I love hosting. Having Thanksgiving at my house is my favorite thing. Having my friends over for that. But this year I'm actually really nervous. This year is the first year I'm going to go to my biological family's house for Thanksgiving.
Oh,
and I'm really, really nervous.
Wow.
But I think it's going to be really beautiful.
Have you met them in person before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I met them, 5 years ago now? 6 years ago?
Yeah.
And that was obviously like a super trippy experience. I am a tiny my mom.
Yeah.
Like it's really, really weird to meet
someone. Like your biological, and see physical resemblance in someone.
Yeah. And I guess it's not even so much physical resemblance. Like we have the same brain.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And she's like super, like she is so open. My aunt is gay and like has a wife and kids. And
this
like,
family sounds rad.
I know.
Can I come to Thanksgiving with you?
Honestly.
Where do they live?
My mom would be so open to it. They live outside of Chicago.
Oh, okay. So still in like the Illinois mm-hmm. area. Great.
Right. Which makes me feel guilty because it's like kind of close, but
I mean,
yeah. Do you know how she feels? Like,
like your mom, like your the Caucasian mom?
No, no, your biological yeah. mom. I mean, I don't know what her political leanings are,
oh,
but
so like her favorite thing is to rant on Twitter about the current alleged president or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. She, yeah, okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah. She's like fully with it.
So that must be like
she and my
like,
mom could share memes all day. About Trump.
Yes. Yeah. She loves it. She loves it. She's always like, gun control is the most important. I'm like, yeah. Turn the caps lock off.
Because on one hand, you want to be thankful that somebody, you know, as religious and whatever as your Caucasian mother was, she did raise you to be, you're an awesome, cool person who, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
To be thankful for all of those things and functioning in the way of like roof over your head.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Three Races. Square meals a day, you know, making sure that you were safe and the things that you would want. But then it's like the other side of it. It was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Feeding and sheltering Katie isn't quite enough. You know, if you're not embracing who they are.
Accepting them and supporting them. And,
right. Yeah, which parents love to say, we love you unconditionally, but then you kick your gay kid out of the house.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah. And I know that it's something that obviously is like hard for both of us.
Sure.
You know, like feeling, because I am so grateful for both of my moms. My biological mom made an incredible sacrifice I could never in my entire life imagine. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, honestly, both of them like sharing me and stuff. But I do know that my biological mom is like also as hurt and as mad as I am about, being disowned and the things that follow that and or whatever. Like, I know that she gets so upset. It's so funny. I have a biological brother, and he was saying like that we aren't very. It gets to like a certain point in the night because we both are very good at drinking. Me and my biological mother, and so we had one of those like big bottles of wine, and we like glugged the whole thing. It was my birthday, and then ended up like on the kitchen floor, like holding each other, just like crying of like the years we've lost and stuff.
Yeah.
And he was like, "You guys are fun up until a point, because then you just are like, I can't believe what happened to you. I can't believe what happened to you."
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird. And it's a weird thing to reconcile, which makes, like, you know, chosen family so important. Because it is, like, that unconditional love. And not that, I mean, your friends can still fuck up and do shady things or whatever, but,
you don't have the baggage, I feel like.
Yeah.
With chosen family, it's like you don't have, and you're picking them in a place where you've learned a lot of lessons already through life, and it's like kind of this is your chance to form these healthy relationships on your terms, in a way that you're making sure that you're putting yourself in like a safe situation with people that you can rely on and get those things that I mean, even if you like, we all have family trauma, no matter what kind of family.
Totally.
You grow up in life is trauma. Being a human is traumatic.
Yeah.
This world.
Particularly a queer person.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
There's just a baked in trauma. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's one of the key ingredients.
Yeah. 100%.
And I don't know. I think like the meaning of life and whatever, like the most important thing when I think of like what's most important in life, I think it's like the connections we make with other people and sharing like love and laughter. I think that's just like the best things in life and what life is about.
And if you find the people you can do that with, it doesn't matter that you're not.
Yeah.
Most people don't find that with the people that they consider their actual literal family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I've, you know, a few people, but like I'm not, but not the entire group. No way.
Yeah.
And I think that it's especially relevant going into the holidays. Like, I love that you're spending Thanksgiving with your biological mom. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think the holidays place a lot of pressure on us to like spend time with family mm-hmm. when like really most of us don't even want to. Like yeah. I have like my mom and stepdad and like that small group of people I definitely want to spend it with, but yeah. I really don't with my extended. And it's just like, why can't we just fucking spend it with who we want to, right. you know? It's yeah. like, it sometimes feels like, especially queer people get that kind of free pass around mm-hmm. all that shit sometimes. If yeah. we do rely on our chosen family and if we only have our chosen family, then we're like, yeah, sorry, fuckers. I'm spending it with these awesome people that I'm choosing to spend it with.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels like, it feels to me like holidays should be spent with the exact people you want to spend them with, no more, no less. But so many people, some people our age for sure, go through that like yearly slog of like sitting at the table with their racist uncle, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with the cousins who were problematic and things like that, and just people you don't relate to anymore. And it's okay to not relate to your family.
Yeah,
for it's sure. fine. Like I know people struggle with that of like my parents or my grandparents or extended relatives or whoever don't embrace my queerness. It's like, well, maybe they're just never going to. Mm-hmm. And that's when friendships for us are so important because our friends do often become our family
yeah.
in that way. Anyway, that's my rant about chosen family. I think it's awesome. And you should go for it. And don't try to change the family that you have because it's probably not going
to
happen.
It yeah. isn't. I'm trying so hard to come to terms with that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, my therapist gave me the homework to write my mom a letter because my cousin has a wedding. It's like a whole thing. You need to come home. We haven't been home in full years. So I'm trying for the millionth time to like explain like blackness and queerness and why you shouldn't have voted for Trump and all of these things. And I kind of got to the point in it where I'm just like, I don't think that this is going to do anything. And like maybe she'll never understand my perspective. I'll never understand living and breathing Jesus the Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe that's okay.
Yeah. yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe it's okay. And maybe it's okay to just like wash your hands of people and move on.
Yeah.
You know, especially as adults, you can make your own decisions. And if you're not depending on your parents financially or anything, there is just no fucking incentive to putting yourself through that all the time with these people who, yes, they raised you, but there's more to it than, like I said, to like feeding and clothing a child. You have to do more than that.
Yeah.
And some people just don't. Yeah. So mm-hmm. fuck them.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel more guilt about not throwing my own Thanksgiving for my chosen family this year than I do for any of the years I haven't gone home. Like my friend, my dear, dear friend, Ben, I'm like, what are you going to do for Thanksgiving this year? You want to come with me?
He's like, no.
But I don't know. I just, I don't
do you
know.
Do holidays every so year typically with your mm-hmm. chosen family here? Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Because I, you know, I'm from Illinois. I'm supposed to be a pastor's wife. Like I love making things homey and making things nice. I'm full Dorinda from New York Housewives, but so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Your biological family sounds like a blast.
They are. Oh my
That's
God.
So cool.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Well, thank you for sharing all of this with
us. Yeah,
for sure.
So interesting. So now we need to wrap up, though, and get to our listener question. I've been dating this guy for a few months now, and we are kind of obsessed with each other. He just met my parents, and they kind of like him. He's a little clingy, but I still like him at least as a person. The only thing is that I just started listening to your podcast, and I love it, and I've started questioning whether I am more into women than men.
Ooh, baby.
So many of the things your guests have said have resonated so well with me that I think I should break up with him. Now the question, how would you suggest breaking it off and trying to get out there more? I'm super introverted and can't initiate conversation. So it like progressively,
okay, so
she's made up her mind.
She wants to break up with him, right?
Yeah,
like,
she's made up
okay,
her.
Okay, good.
She went from like, I have this great boyfriend to like, tell me how to break up with him.
Yeah, wow.
I'm glad you got honest with yourself as you wrote that email. By the way, this is a Patreon question. Just a reminder to our listeners, if you're a patron, your question jumps to the top of the line.
Yeah.
But
ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, I think you just got to fucking break up with him, girl. Yeah. I don't even know what to tell you. Like, and that would, I would say that if you, there were any reason why you wanted to, if you were just like, I don't know, I'm just not into him. Mm-hmm. Just break up with him.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I think be honest with him. I think it's okay to be honest, even if you're still in this questioning phase, but just
tell him you're in a questioning phase. And you're just like, I want to explore that.
That's you need to explore.
He'll probably be better with that than if you were like, if you met some dude and you're like, I'm dumping you for some guy. If you were like, I am trying to, you know, explore my sexuality. I think I might be attracted to women. Perhaps that might be a more palatable reason for him. Not that you need to worry about pleasing him at all in this process, but
yes, you don't owe him anything.
From his perspective, I think he might be less traumatized by the truth in this case than anything else.
Yeah.
So, and also, like, if he can't handle the truth, then that's it's such an easy out.
Exactly. You know? Like, sorry, bro.
He might really disappoint you with whatever he says.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And don't worry that he's met your parents, because parents will have to deal with this for, I mean, my parents have met all my exes.
My parents met my most annoying ex of all time about a year ago. So it's fine.
It happens. They'll get over it. And it, you know, it seems like he's fine, but it also sounds like he's not the one. Like, don't be afraid you're losing your soulmate or anything
that.
So just, you know, go get yourself out there. And I know you said that you're introverted, and have troubles initiating conversation. I mean, online dating can help, you know, being behind a phone if you're shy.
An online community helps a lot. You know, it kind of going about it the same way you would if you were dating guys too. I mean, it's really not that different. It's a matter of how we meet people is a little bit different, you know, forums to use. I don't know if there isn't any context about her age, but like there's all kinds of places. There's like personals on Instagram, like look that up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ways to do that, but ultimately what it comes down to is just break up with the guy.
Yeah.
It's okay. And be honest with him. I'm sure if he's a good person, he'll take it in stride. It's probably not the first or last time he's going to go through a breakup in his life.
Truly.
And it's not the first or last time for you either.
Yeah.
It's a totally normal thing to go through for sure.
And when in doubt in terms of conversations and being afraid to initiate conversation, just try to get to know people.
Yeah.
Just like ask them about themselves and
keep asking questions.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
If you see someone who's interesting, if you see someone who's interesting, ask them about themselves. Find out who they are, whatever. Don't go into everything thinking like, oh my God, this is like a make or breaker. I'm trying to pick up. Just try to get to know someone in the most like simple way.
Casual way.
Ever. And then see where it leads.
Yeah.
But don't put so much pressure on yourself.
Like pressure. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Take the pressure off of everything being a potential romantic connection, because most of the time it's not going to be. And if it is, great. But just go easy on yourself. It's going to be fine. And also, we are so honored.
I know.
This is really just about us. So
I know. Thank
you so much for giving us
flattering us.
Alicia, this is the fuel I needed to get through the day.
Where can people find you on social media or come see one of your shows?
Yeah. Instagram at thatkettleisblack, like the pot calling the kettle black. And on Twitter at Alicia Goldsmith.
Cool.
And show stuff will be there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You can find us at Dyking Out on all forms of social media. You can follow me at TGI Carolyn or at Every Gay Susan if you're interested in my Every Gay Susan Instagram project.
And her PhD project.
Yeah. My dissertation.
I'm at the Sarah York. And you can also find us on Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/dykingout. That helps keep this train moving, and that is where I will be giving all of my personal life stories away, including how I met my new girlfriend. If you want to hear that,
yay,
just a couple bucks a month and you're good to go.
I'm
I don't mind shilling my
one.
Personal life. I know what this is.
Honey, not tricking if you got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks so much for diking out with us. Dike out with us next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The Hello, friends. This is Mark Nail, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.